Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Today we have a lot to get to, including the first, what I'm calling, segment called Travel or Nah. Other things that are going to be talked about today are the AFC and NFC championship games, the new development to the logo conspiracy, and new coaching hires as well. I'm also going to briefly talk about my Super Bowl picks for the rematch between the Chiefs and 49ers, which happened in 2020. And there's a lot of other things that happened in 2022. So will we see a repeat of some kind this year? Let's get right into it. All right, first thing that I'd like to talk about is the LA Chargers and their hiring of Jim Harbaugh as their head coach. Now, last week, I swear, as soon as I left the studio last week, that's when I saw the news break. So I did kind of want to talk about this last week, but that's okay because, you know, time is different in the studio. So, from what I've seen, there are two takes on this new hiring for the Chargers. The first being that he's ducking the NCAA and their regulations and Ohio State, even though he beat Ohio State 3 years in a row. So I'm not really sure why Ohio State is complaining. And the other being that there's a lot of excitement around Harbaugh, and that being from the Chargers, a lot of excitement for the Chargers working with the quarterback like Justin Herbert. And I have issues with both of these takes, to be completely honest. I feel like there's bias from the Buckeye fan base as well as the Chargers fan base, just because the Chargers offseason is kind of like the Cowboys in the postseason. They get all excited. There's a lot to be excited about. And then all of a sudden, their season goes down the toilet. For the first one, it's obvious that this take is from many Ohio State fans and anyone that doesn't like Harbaugh. So I guess that kind of includes Alabama this year since due to the results of the Rose Bowl. While there is some truth behind it, you know, like I'm sure Jim Harbaugh is tired of the NCAA. I mean, who wouldn't? Because it seems like they're always going after him for something. But I mean, he has also coached in the NFL before, and I think he did also kind of want to go back to coaching in the NFL. And this just happened to be the right time to do it because of so many head coaching openings already. So, I mean, for him, it made sense. And he also won a national championship for Michigan. So it was like he already did what he needed to do. So it was a good time for him to move back to the NFL if he so chose, which in this case he did. I feel like the job with the Chargers felt almost like a trophy, the way the broadcasters have been talking about it on social media. Justin Herbert, the Chargers quarterback, has also been like the poster child for a lot of these broadcasters as well. They like really praise him for the stats that he brings to the Chargers. But the only problem, though, for me is that he hasn't won a playoff game since he's been on the Chargers. And granted, I know the situation at the Chargers has been far from perfect, but I mean, the way they talk about him, you would expect at least one playoff win. You know, like they just put him on a pedestal, almost like Patrick Mahomes, except the difference is that Patrick Mahomes actually wins. Whether or not it's from the help of the refs, that is debatable. Anyways, this year in the regular season, we kind of saw the situation getting to Justin Herbert a couple of times in some of the regular season games. We saw him get very frustrated with the way his team was playing and the way the coaching was being done. And one play in particular, the center snapped the ball late, I believe, and Justin Herbert, he threw the ball on the ground, even though there wasn't a call for a false start or anything or delay of game. He just threw the ball on the ground. Now, normally when players throw the ball on the ground, it's because they don't, like towards the end of the game, if they don't run the ball out of bounds in time, they throw the ball on the ground to stop the clock. So And also if they don't get first down. So if it's like second and eight and they get tackled on the field and the clock's still running, they're going to snap it and throw it on the ground to stop the clock. But none of that was happening during that game. So that kind of leaves me a little worried for the Chargers situation. Just because there's already a lot of frustration from Herbert that has been openly shown on the field. And I don't think the situation is going to get better right away. I think it's going to take at least 1 or 2 years for Harbaugh to rebuild the team. I mean, lots of the Chargers players are old, and their draft stock isn't, like, insane. Like, it's not like the Bears' draft stock right now. But it's not as bad as, like, Carolina's situation. So, I mean, it really depends on what Jim Harbaugh does with what he has. And I know the Chargers have also hired a new general manager, so there's going to be different decision-making on that level as well. But again, we don't really know if that, like, sometimes it takes a year. Sometimes it takes a little more than that. It really just depends on how quickly the situation turns around. And with Harbaugh leaving Michigan has hired Sharon Moore to be the head coach of Michigan. And I think this is probably the best decision that Michigan could have made for several reasons, one of which kind of has to do with Jim Harbaugh, actually. When he got suspended, both times he got suspended by the NCAA and Big Ten, Sharon Moore was the interim head coach, and he led Michigan to win while Harbaugh was gone. To me, that shows that he clearly knows the system that Harbaugh put in place. He knows the expectations that Michigan, the school, and their fans have. And he knows how to develop a great O-line. So you could put a quarterback back there, like even like a rookie quarterback back there, and they will do really well. The offensive lines that he's coached has won awards in the past, even in the years when they didn't make it to the championship, they still were doing a lot of great things with the offensive line. So I think Michigan, I wouldn't expect them to lose a lot of recruits, because that's also another issue with hiring outside of your college. Like, instead of promoting someone else that already works with Michigan, has gotten to know the recruits that have come in, all that stuff. And then if you hire, like, I mean, we see this right now, actually, with Kalen DeBoer in Alabama. Lots of the players that committed to Alabama they're decommitting, or they're retransferring because they wanted to go to Alabama specifically because Nick Saban was there. Since he's not there, there's less incentive for those players to want to go to Bama. But I think, kind of like with Harbaugh, I think Kalen DeBoer is pretty much going to pick up right where Saban left off. I wouldn't be surprised if Alabama made it to the championship like year two under DeBoer, especially with this new playoff system, since there's 12 teams instead of four. Granted, there's really only 11 spots for Power 5 teams and not 12, because the 12th spot is for Group of 5 team. But still, I mean, Alabama's been consistently in the top 10 for, I can't even tell you how many years, because there are so many. All right, sticking with the NFL, while also talking about the logo conspiracy development, I'm going to take out two birds with one stone, as they say. So the Chiefs, as we all saw, they won the AFC championship, and the Niners won the NFC championship. Now, when I talked about the Lions-Niners matchup last week, I said if Debo wasn't playing in the game, the Lions had a chance to win, because their secondary defense, like their pass defense, isn't as good as their run defense, and that they would probably be using McCaffrey a lot more. However, Debo was playing in this game, and him and Brandon Ayuk on the receiving end were just bawling. They were bawling out, and Christian McCaffrey running the ball, he just could not be stopped in the second half. And with Brock Purdy at the helm, they came out on top and led a 17-point comeback. The Lions' defense was on lockdown, and the Lions' offense was also firing on all cylinders in the first half. But due to Niners having key defensive stops on Detroit when it was fourth down, there was two of these stops. And the Detroit Lions chose to not kick the field goal on either of those attempts. And that allowed the 49ers to go back to the Super Bowl. And lots of people are saying that they should have kicked for the field goal because the score ended up being 34-31 with the Lions getting a last-minute touchdown before the conclusion of the game. And then they tried to get the onside kick, but George Kittle got the onside kick. So as a result of that, the Niners are going to the Super Bowl. To me, I think with the decision-making like that people are questioning, that decision-making is also what got the Lions there in the first place. Them making those risky calls on fourth down, going for it, that's what got them there. So I don't think them not going for the field goal had too much. Lots of people are putting the blame on Campbell because of this decision or these decisions. But those decisions are what what got them there in the first place. They just happened to not convert this time. And, you know, that happens. With this win from the Niners also, Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, who is now Mr. Relevant, is the third youngest quarterback to start in the Super Bowl as a result of this win. And now let's get to the logo conspiracy since we kind of broke down these games a little bit. So as we know, the Chiefs won 17-10, which honestly was a much lower scoring game than I expected from either team. As hot as the Chiefs offense has been the past two games and as hot as the Ravens offense has been all year, I really thought they were going to at least score more than 20 points. Neither team could do that. And so now with the logo, both the Chiefs and the Niners are red. So why are people still saying that the logo conspiracy is real? Well, I did a little bit of digging. And, you all know who is a new and recent fan of the Chiefs, right? Taylor Swift. Okay. Everyone's been complaining about her all year, even though she hasn't occupied that much screen time in comparison to the actual game. But I digress. Anyway, I did some digging, and I decided, you know what? Let's see what Taylor Swift's favorite color is. And I did this because the Ravens were the purple team. It was like written in the stars that the Ravens were supposed to make it to the Super Bowl. However, because the Chiefs had Taylor Swift, which I believe to be their new secret weapon, her favorite color is lavender haze, which is a shade of purple. Yes. That is why the logo conspiracy is still real, because the NFL tried to pull a sneaky and do it based on the logo of the teams, which is what they have done the past few times. But this time, they decided to switch it up a little bit. Say, well, now that Taylor Swift is basically a part of the Chiefs, why not we include her favorite color in there and trip people up? Because everyone is going to be betting a lot of money that the Niners and the Ravens are going to be in the Super Bowl. So in a way, Vegas also won after all those lost bets there. And for the I do kind of want to talk a little bit about the Chiefs-Ravens game a little bit more. Just because the Ravens just absolutely fell apart in a way that I did not think was possible. So we all saw last week what happened with the Bills and the Chiefs when they played. The Bills had an elite run offense, and that was what got them down the field a lot. Now, if I was the Ravens and I saw this, I would have been like, the Chiefs' run defense is weaker than their pass defense. What should we do? Let's run the ball. That is not even close to what the Ravens did. They decided to throw the ball more than run it, which was a horrible, horrible, horrible decision because the Ravens are one of the best rushing teams in the NFL, if not the best, because their quarterback is like a triple threat who can run the ball at an elite level like a running back, and they have elite running backs. So, and also running it, there's less risk of throwing an interception and turning the ball over, which did also happen in the Chiefs-Ravens game. Lamar Jackson threw it into triple coverage towards the end of the game, and there was, and one of the Chiefs' defensive players caught it, and it resulted in a turnover. So the Chiefs, or the Ravens, couldn't tie it against the Chiefs. I also know that a lot of people are complaining about the officiating of the Ravens-Chiefs game. Well, I do think that some of the taunting calls were a little unnecessary. That's also partially because I just don't think the taunting calls are necessary in the first place. I think, like Joe Burrow said on Twitter, let the players taunt. But if you're going to call taunting, you have to call it both ways. You can't just call it primarily on one team. And it was primarily called on the Ravens, even though the Chiefs were taunting basically the entire game and did not get any calls for it. But I mean, I don't think that that's the reason the Ravens lost. The Ravens had a horrible game plan going in. They didn't really make a lot of offensive adjustments. Their defense made great adjustments. The Chiefs didn't score any points in the second half. So they made some great defensive adjustments, but on the offensive end, the most they could get was a field goal. So clearly they just did not know what to do with their offense, which I think is just really sad because their offense has just looked great all year. And I mean, granted, the Cowboys offense looked great all year as well, but unlike the Cowboys, the Ravens actually won a playoff game. Man, I am really clowning the Cowboys today. And since the Chiefs didn't score in the second half, the Ravens, if they were a little more disciplined with the turnovers, they probably could have tied the game and taken it to overtime. Though, I still don't think that would have made much of a difference because we've all seen what Patrick Mahomes does in overtime. I mean, he just immediately destroyed the Bills in like 13 seconds in overtime before the rules were changed. And whenever he's in overtime, he normally does well, except against Joe Burrow. Him and Joe Burrow and Tom Brady are the only two quarterbacks to beat Tom Brady as of right now in the playoffs. And Patrick Mahomes, I think, now has like a 13-2 record or something like that in the playoffs as well, which is just absolutely insane. Now, I'd like to move on to our special segment, Travel or Nah. All right, now how this works is I'm going to find clips of recent controversial plays in the NBA and talk about why someone either traveled or didn't. If you guys find any clips, send them to the Discord, and I'll feature those on the next episode and on this segment, and I'll give you a shout-out as well. The video of clips that I have a compilation of possible travel calls in the NBA were put together by Kosh Report. And also, as a little refresher for those who don't completely understand the travel rule, the NBA Referees Association states that a player may take two steps in coming to a stop, passing or shooting the ball. So that's like when they're back by the three-point line, right? Like if they're about to shoot the ball or if they're passing it outside the arc. Like it's like something like that almost. Or two, if he has not yet dribbled one step prior to releasing the ball. So that's like if you receive the ball and you hold it a little longer than you're supposed to. I'll break down as many as I can in 5 minutes, and you guys tell me what you think of the clips we're going to look at. All right, I just need to get a timer set up real quick. Hold up. I need to find the watch app. Let's actually, hold on. I can use my phone. Little brief intermission, if you will.
Do you want me to go ahead and pause it for you?
Oh, no, it's fine. It's fine. All right. I've got the timer now. I just need to get the video up. Okay. All right, timing. Timer starts right now.
It's real frenetic.
Yeah, and that was a poor fast break. Conley goes for the run.
All right, he took four steps there going into the... So his first play is... Warriors versus Grizzlies. One of the Grizzlies players is dribbling it in. So right here, he stops dribbling, he holds the ball, and he's going into his first step. Then he takes two, three. All right, so I don't... With layups, you can take the third step. Like if you're going into the basket, it's that fourth one that's a problem. So I think this first one is not a travel.
His dad was a triple jumper.
Yeah, mate.
Yeah. All right, this one is another Durant. Memphis one. It's Memphis versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. This one, not sure how recent this is. Hold on. All right, so Ja has the ball. Ja Morant has the ball. He stops. He comes off of his pivot foot, so he takes more than one step when he does this play. Yeah, so he gets called for a travel on that. So that one is a travel. Oh, he took like three steps after receiving the ball. So even before way before the whistle was called, that was a travel. So really, that was like two travels right there. We're going to count it as one, though. All right, this one is Houston versus the Utah Jazz. Now, there's always going to be controversy around the way James Harden shoots. He's the one who has the ball here. He like stops and then he takes like three steps off to the side and then shoots the ball. Okay, that is definitely a travel. That's not a travel. However, it doesn't get called a travel. There's actually a foul called. I didn't see who was guarding him, but the foul gets called on them. Because he hit James Harden. So even though it wasn't called a travel, it should have been called a travel. All right, this next one is Golden State versus San Antonio or Sacramento Kings.
That's every James Harden.
All right, so Steph Curry does the exact same thing that James Harden did there. He goes, he stops, and then he takes like three steps back. And then his excuse after getting called a travel. So this time this gets called a travel. But his excuse is that James Harden does the same thing. It doesn't get called. But I don't think that's justification really for doing that. So I don't know. I digress. It'll show a replay. Hold on. All right, look. 1, 2, 3. Yeah. All right, this one's another Warriors one, but they're playing Portland.
He missed everything. Play, a little flyby, reload.
This time it's Klay Thompson. He has the ball, and that is
pretty well
definitely a travel. He's like, I can't even explain what that was. Because he dribbles, takes two steps, takes another two steps, and then shoots the ball. It doesn't get called a travel, but he does still, he still misses the basket. So, you know, I guess as they say, the ball don't lie. The ball don't lie. All right. This next clip is Toronto versus Boston.
Leans in, throws it up. Who has the ball? Got fouled by Ibaka on the way by. This man in the air.
It's hard to see the ball when they're so far away.
So he took a few steps. Come on.
And also when the camera's not facing the back of their jersey. It's Morris. He had the ball. I don't think that was a travel. I think he just like switched his movement, but it didn't really look like a travel to me. He was still, yeah, no, that's not a travel. He was still on his pivot foot. So, all right. Oh, and time's up. All right. So, okay, this is a 6-minute video. We got through a minute and 30 seconds of the video. How many was that? Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think, okay, yeah, not bad. 6 short little clips in 5 minutes. Okay, so I guess next week I'm going to have to try to break that and go a little quicker. So it's going to be like, it's going to be almost like a game. Like if I can, I think a good goal would probably be to get up to 10 clips in 5 minutes. But yeah, that's pretty much what the segment is. I don't really watch the NBA all that much, partially because of the travels, but I also don't like, I don't like that a lot of flopping takes place. I don't like that trying to get fouls is a like the most important part of the game, especially lately, because there's been a lot of talks about like one team got more free throws than you. Do you think that's fair? It's like, well, rules aren't fair. So I don't really know what else to tell you about that. But they're still going to complain about it either way. All right. So next week, we'll talk a little bit about the Super Bowl and how I think that's going to go down. A little bit on college basketball as well. And we're also going to cover a little bit about swimming since we are approaching the conference championship season. If y'all have any clips that you see on any travels or possible travels in NBA games, don't forget to send those to the Discord. If it's like a TikTok clip, like if it's like 30-second TikTok clip, or if it's like a compilation of YouTube videos, then and if there's a specific one in a YouTube video, if you do send that video to Discord, put down like the timestamp on it. So like if it's a 15-minute video, and the specific one you want to look at is like 5 minutes in. Just put down, like, if it starts at, like, 5 minutes, 3 seconds, just, like, put that next to the video. Also, don't forget to subscribe to IU Student Television streaming channels if you are listening on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, as well as subscribing to the YouTube. That way you can get notified whenever I release another episode. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can explore other podcasts that are streamed with IU Student Television. Thank you all for sliding in, and I'll see you next Friday. And again, don't forget to send those clips to the Discord. I think this new segment with the NBA should be pretty interesting the more we go into it, because the calls, it feels like they get more and more egregious. I digress. See you all next Friday.